This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3047 for Tuesday, the 7th of April 2020. Today's show is entitled The COVID-19 Work From Home Stream, Day 1. It is hosted by Thad Sarah and is about 41 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is: a couple of HPR characters decide to spend some of their social distancing time being social.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. How we doing?
Pretty good. Just kind of getting through some work. I've got to do a video tutorial in a little bit, but trying to sort that out.
What are you doing a tutorial on?
A bunch of the teachers that we work with in the different schools are freaking out because they don't have a way to easily record their home computers and make lessons to where the software that the schools typically use is on their computers at school, and they're not allowed to go to school. So they're a lot of them are asking. So I was going to do a video about using OBS as a basic screen recorder. And the only reason I'm picking that is because it's really universal. It works on everything.
Oh, nice.
It just happens to be pretty intense when you first open it up. It kind of reminds me of Blender when you open it up and you're like, too many things. So I figured a video tutorial would probably work the best.
Smart.
Yeah, you would think so. So I wound up having to go to the grocery store last night to pick up some cough medicine for my wife. And I was thinking about you because when I got there, I felt like we are maybe a week away from Mad Max happening.
Yeah, I'm so lucky. I think today, I'm not sure if it's just because it's a Wednesday, which is a relatively slow day to begin with, or whether people are starting to take that whole social distancing thing seriously, but it's relatively slow on you today.
Yeah, I went in and I just kind of made a beeline for the cough medicine, which is off to one side. But then I went around because there was tons of people checking out. So I was like, I'm just going to go around and try to go through the U-scan on the other side. And I literally walked past the canned goods aisle. There was a person literally crying because there was nothing left on the shelves, zero. And then I walked past the seafood meat counter, and all the prepackaged stuff was gone. All the middle of the aisle cases were cleaned out, and the department, there was one poor schmuck that was standing in front of it, and there were 20 people standing there just yelling at him. And I just was like, I feel so sorry for that guy. this is terrible.
Yeah, I'm lucky I don't work in the grocery side, because my brother was saying that there was a fist fight over paper towels. It was a Monday.
Hey, guys, there's this thing called, rags. You can use those. That covers that.
Besides, how many paper towels do you really need? Or toilet paper or whatever?
That's what I was talking to Pokey the other day. Well, Pokey and Lyle both. We were on Signal messaging each other back and forth, and I was like, I'm sitting here with a bidet, I don't need toilet paper, I'm good. I can get clean without it.
There you go.
It's to the point where if I have to, we were talking about me going out of town, it seems so uncivilized to just take paper and wipe back there until you hope that it's clean, instead of actually cleaning things.
That makes sense, actually. But for some reason I feel like I would still, just for peace of mind, want to wipe once. Number one, to dry it off. Number two, just to make sure that out of the water got everything.
Yeah, you usually do. There's still a clean, a drying wipe, or at least there is when I do it. And the bidet does a good job. It's very rare that there's anything left over. But just the amount less toilet paper that we use. We didn't stock up or anything. We just bought a package a week ago. And I have zero worries that we're going to run out anytime soon.
Yeah, we usually buy like big package anyway, and we did that probably about a week ago Tuesday before things really hit. I mean, it wasn't until, so it was like Tuesday night that the governor of Massachusetts declared state of emergency, and then it was like literally like 24, it was sometime Tuesday, and then like Wednesday night everything hit the fan here. I mean, it was, we went from, you know, normal to Wednesday night, people went crazy and walking in Thursday morning going, what the hell happened the night before? But I mean, that big package of toilet, because we go to BJ's, we get the big package of toilet paper, and that's probably going to last us for at least a good month or so, hopefully.
Yeah, I also don't get it. Of all the things to hoard and stockpile, why toilet paper? Like that, you think food? Maybe food might be a good idea, or I don't understand why toilet paper became the thing.
I don't know, but the problem is, the second it became a thing, it was a thing, and I think that's why it all of a sudden became a thing. You know, it was. What do you mean you don't have a stockpile of toilet paper? So we have to get toilet paper because everybody else is getting the toilet paper, and then there's not going to be any toilet paper, and then all of a sudden we're going to be stuck home, quarantined at home, and not able to leave our homes, and we're not going to have toilet paper.
Sort of a self-reinforcing cycle there.
Exactly.
Well, and it's like absolute 100% worst case scenario. If I don't have toilet paper, like I still have water and some soap. I can make this work. Like, it's not going to be pretty, but I can make it work. I can't make food work. Like, I just need it.
Right. Yeah, the first thing that should have gone is like all of the canned goods.
Yeah, and they were pretty good until yesterday. Yesterday was the first time that I saw like all the canned goods gone. Even like the really bad stuff that nobody wants to eat was gone. Like, it was completely bare. But we were talking on Matrix today, like, grocery stores are made for like a 3-day turnaround, and that's about it. So it's like, we just don't have a system designed for what we're going through.
The problem is actually just the supply chain to the warehouse. So with us, like I said, it was Wednesday night, it all of a sudden hit. And then Thursday, it was mayhem. Friday, it was mayhem. Saturday, it was mayhem. And by the end of Saturday, the warehouse was just like, look, we are out. We're trying to get trucks in here as fast as possible, but it's, you know, everybody is in the same boat as we are. So we're trying to get stuff to the warehouse. And so on Saturday, they told us that we're not allowed to do orders anymore, that we're supposed to just, because we have, they call it handheld ordering. So it's kind of like a system that tries to generate a order using math. So it tries to take like your previous, what it thinks you have on hand, what you had, what you did for business like this week, last year, because a lot of that is just about the same every time. And it takes what you did like this day last week, last year, and yesterday's sales, and then it tries to determine also what you have on hand inventory as to what's everything to try to generate order, just to make it easier so you're not sitting down and ordering each and every item in all my department. It's produce, so it's each and every item in the department, and because there's several thousand different items in my department, so this kind of cuts that way down. But it said it what they said was, because of the amount of orders and the how heavy of ordering that they got into the warehouse, they said we're not allowed to touch that at all. So it's just supposed to run the way, it's just supposed to predict what we need. The problem is, the system is not perfect. And half the reason why we need to touch it in the first place is because on-hand inventories get all screwed up and it doesn't seem to want to work right. And so we get to a point where what we have to do, the manual side of this, is we have to go in and fix the inventories of things to get the system to order the way we want it to order. But if they tell us that we can't touch anything, then it's just automatically going to think that, order a lot less actually than what we actually need, and sometimes a lot more and stuff that we don't need. And it screws up the entire process. And, you know, especially in a produce department where you need to also take into account things like, not every case of apples that comes in is going to be 100% perfect from top to bottom. I mean, a box gets bounced around enough that stuff inside of it. I mean, you talk about apples, the bottom layer of a box of apples, a lot of time you're taking, you're pulling off half of it before it even makes it onto the shelf. So, I mean, and that's not getting taken into account when it tries to figure out its on-hand inventories. So, long story short, the warehouses got completely blown out on Saturday. I was told my order Sunday for Monday was I'm not allowed to touch it or do anything. So whatever came in that day is what came in that day. Same thing with the day before. Today was the first day I was able to actually touch the order. And from my understanding, it's going to be the only day for a while I can actually touch the order. So I'm hoping that I've fixed enough of the inventories on things that going forward, I'll be able to actually get some of the stuff, the product I actually need into the store, and hopefully the warehouse can actually get caught up with everything.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, it is.
I will say the one thing that surprised me in a way, and then it didn't surprise me, is that I walked past produce because, I mean, that's usually, we eat a lot of produce. Like, that's the thing we do. I just didn't need any right now. And it looked fairly well stocked. It's like there's this run on food, but like there's all this food like here nobody wants. Sometimes our food system boggles my mind. I mean, it is more expensive to buy fresh food, and I think that's part of the problem. But it's just it boggles the mind that literally somebody's in the aisle crying because there's no canned goods. But like literally, probably what you were going to buy is over here. You just have to actually make it.
That's very true. And I mean, I don't know what the difference is through like the supply chain as to how come one thing is blown out versus another. A lot of it comes down to whoever. So there are people who are at the warehouse, whose job it is to order stuff for the warehouse. So whether they just, there's a much higher turnaround on produce than there is on like canned goods. So I'm sure they probably order a certain number of canned goods into the warehouse. And that's usually good enough for, I don't know, a month or like a couple of weeks. So they don't even think about it. While produce is one of those that they have to think about daily just because of how perishable it is.
Yeah, I could see that being something that kind of gets baked into the calculus of it. At the end of the day, I think we just like, There was no backup plan for something like this happening, which is unfortunate in and of itself.
True. And the thing that really starts to scare me, though, is I'm kind of stuck in a job where I told my boss this morning, I looked right at him, and I go, look, you and I need to realize that we're basically going to get it. Now, whether we actually do or not is going to be, just a random happenstance of chance at this point. We're gonna get it because there are absolutely nothing, there's nothing in place to help us. There's nothing that we can do to, we can't shut down at all, and we can't set something up where we let them, we have programs in place where they call it a click and collect, where they purchase stuff online and we bring it out to their cars. But that system is down right now. I think one, because of just so many people wanted to use that, which in my opinion is, but at the same time, I think they had a hard time keeping up with things.
Good afternoon, folks. How's it going?
Hey, hello. I think they had a hard time keeping up with stuff because, one, they it's hard to fill an order when they have no idea. Like, half the time the shelves are empty anyways. But there's nothing in place to protect us, the people who work there. You know what I mean? And we're stuck because we're not getting closed down. We have to remain open no matter what. So we have to just kind of accept the fact that we're probably gonna get it.
Yeah, I just, being in education, I know I'm getting it eventually, whether it's this first wave or when it comes back around. It's gonna happen. So I've just resigned myself to that. I that's what I was thinking, like the whole because here they call it click list here. I don't know what it is everywhere else, but like where you order your stuff and they bring it out to your car. I have been terrified of using that just because I'm a control freak and I like to make sure I get what I want. I don't think I've ever been more likely to use it than now.
The only things I've ever been concerned about them getting right are, you know, produce or meat. And, you know, being that meat is in short supply now, you only have to worry about produce. I have used it a couple of times, and it's worked really well. Also, hi anyone listening, this is Lyle, also known as X1101.
I was going to say, also known as something else, but I couldn't think of something else witty fast enough.
I also respond to, hey, asshole.
Hey, asshole.
Now, who did you use the pickup with?
So I live in the Northeast. We have a store called Hannaford, and they're the ones who have it. And I used that multiple times and was quite happy with it.
Ah, our sister company. I work for Stop and Shop.
Ah.
Yeah, apparently, like, Target had shut down their, curbside pickup stuff, too. And I don't know. In my opinion, it would make sense to just the clerks to have this available, because this is going to save them a great deal.
Well, and you could, especially if you have a dedicated team of people who are interacting with the public, like, that lowers your attack surface, and you can do a lot more to protect those people specifically. So I don't understand why you would do that, because it just makes sense. Like, use that as much as you can.
Right.
But of course, I'm expecting common sense, and that's not happening.
Like, go walk to get the groceries, wash your hands. Go talk to the people, wash your hands. Look in the mirror, wash your hands.
Here's gloves and a mask. Like, don't rub your face.
There was one piece of advice that I saw that I'm not going to follow. And that was that they suggested people shave their beards. Not going to happen.
I mean, did somebody really say that? I mean,
yeah, I saw some CDC advice that say, you know, guys should shave their beards.
Yikes.
And my advice to them is to get bent.
I mean, if somebody would have said that, like when this first started, I may have done that. Like, just because. But, you know, too late now. I'm at home. If I'm going to get it, I've already got it.
It's about 10 years too late for me to shave my beard. It's just part of my face now.
I've only seen one picture of you without a beard. And it looked nothing like you, so I can't imagine.
Yes. I showed pictures of my wife and I from high school at prom to someone, and their response is, who is that with your wife?
Yeah, I think those were the pictures you showed me.
Yes.
Sorry if I go quiet for a while. I'm going to talk and eat my lunch at the same time.
That sounds good. I should do that if I wasn't busy working.
I did do that. It was delicious.
So, Lyle, are you on work from home now? I think you told me this.
We are on... Our company's stance is currently, we will support whatever decision you make.
Decision is staying home.
Absolutely. Between the fact that my daughter, who's had some respiratory issues all her life, just with allergies, asthma stuff, but enough that that's fragile, and the social responsibility thing, I'm going to stay right here.
I can see all of those things.
I'm really interested in what the long-term impacts of this are going to be on, you know, various work-from-home policies and the way IT departments are structured and just society in general. I mean, this is going to have more than just quarantine period effects, and I'm interested in what they are.
Yeah, I don't... I think on one hand, they're very obviously showing some things that are against popular belief, especially like you can work from home and you can be productive, things like that. I also think that it's could equally backfire and create a whole new set of bad things. I did see a
tweet. Like what?
I don't know. Just the whole, we don't, I think there's a lot of things that are getting pointed out that may be sort of like, I think David Graeber is the guy that came up with the term bullshit jobs. I think a lot of those are getting exposed right now, and they are very key to sort of propping up our economy. And if that gets realized, people may make those jobs go away. But like I was saying, I saw a tweet that my wife sent me, and it was like, it's kind of funny. you notice that as soon as the people who actually do work can't work, our entire economy falls apart. So that's a good thing. I think people realizing that is well worth it. But I also think that there's a lot of people who don't do a whole lot and get paid a whole lot, and that's not going to work out for them.
Fair point.
Like, one of the things I'm very, very terrified in is that people are going to mistakenly assume that because we can do work from home schooling, that that's going to be a viable alternative for a greater portion of the days of school. And just knowing the research behind distance learning and how it's not nearly as effective, that scares me, because a lot of districts will take that and give people a lower wage for staying home because they're struggling and they need to do something to reduce costs. And I think that they'll see that and be like, oh yeah, we can totally do this. We did it for like 2 months back in the day in 2020.
That is a good point. That is probably a lesson that should not be learned, but probably will be.
Yeah. See, and that's what I mean. Like, I'm terrified that things that should not be lessons will be lessons, and the ones that should be lessons are not, because all of it is inconvenient. See, that's why I'm a math teacher.
Because words are hard.
Words are hard. English is dumb. But, you know, I never rely on common sense being the norm. And I think that leaves me in a very depressing state a lot of times.
So is there any mandatory in your district, any mandatory stuff that the kids are going to have to do while they're off?
So the district that I spend the most time in, and the one that my wife works in, they had already had a plan for what they call e-learning days, which down here in the past, what has happened is pretty much every year we'll get snow or something that closes school for a week. And what they, yeah, I know, because we don't snow.
Do you get like three flakes of snow and everyone has a heart attack and closes everything?
I would laugh at that, but that is kind of quite literally true. Like, if it's more than an inch, everything shuts down.
I can do both of those things.
But so they had this in place to sort of, because what always happened was, is we'd have a week off and then they'd tack it on to the end of the year and vacations and stuff got ruined and parents would get mad. And the state came up with this idea of doing e-learning, which was, you know, they set up these remote classes and kids can do them at home on their devices, which there's a whole slew of reasons why that's less than ideal. But it was a good policy just to sort of make this work. So they had it built in for this week that they're off now. They're going to do those e-learning days. And that's going to make up this week for them. They're just going to work from home. Then next week was going to be spring break anyways. So they took that off. And the state has lowered the number of days of the year. So it's usually 180 days. They're making it, I think, 160. So the district decided to take the next week off and the kids don't have to do anything. They're basically just going to get a two-week spring break. As of right now, they're going to go back after that, depending on how things go, that may change, but they had that sort of built in. Now, my daughter's district has no e-learning. They lucked out. They're on a 2 week spring break now anyways. So it's kind of up in the air what's going to happen after that as to whether they go back or they're going to try to kludge together some e-learning thing. But the problem with e-learning in her district is there's no devices. So the kids don't get a specific device like the kids in the district I work in do. They get a laptop to take home, where her district doesn't have that.
Now, age range do they do this, in-home learning?
Everything. So like, my wife is a first grade teacher. Her kids are doing it all the way up through, you know, I've got high school seniors.
Yeah, my daughter is in first grade and they sent home a bunch of worksheets and packets and stuff. That was their answer to the young kids e-learning.
So my daughter is in first grade, and maybe it just was the timing in which they shut things down, because the superintendent of her school system didn't make a decision until like late Friday night, so that she wasn't sent home with anything. The teacher had sent, apparently the teacher has like a blog set up for with a bunch of learning stuff, but to best of my knowledge, none of it is mandatory or anything. So basically we're just kind of winging it. My wife said that she was going to try and do some stuff with the kids today, because she took today off because we don't have anybody to watch the kids and we both have to work. She works a front desk at a pediatric office, so she's going to remain working for the foreseeable future unless they shut it down. So we, but basically we're just going to have to come up with our own stuff just so she can mentally stay in, you know, mentally stay in the game.
Oh, I think there's no question that there's going to be a giant just sort of gap for kids during this, because they're not, they're just not, no amount of learning on your own, at least from, I got to be careful about the way I say this, from a performance metrics standpoint, is going to be as ideal as being in a classroom. Not to say you can't learn things on your own. It's just the way we have the system set up, it's kind of necessary, which, you know, take from that what you will. I think it's kind of horrendous.
You can't learn the things you're measured on learning.
Yeah, which, who cares if that's important or not?
Details.
Yeah, those are the details I have to worry about. But
I know.
The as far as like what I'm doing, that's a big part of what I've been doing from home, is helping teachers like create curriculum and like, these are the tools you need to set up, you know, ways for kids to learn from home and do stuff like that. Like that's literally what a lot of my work from home is right now.
Now, Lyle, the packets and stuff that were sent home, were any of that stuff mandatory stuff that has to go back at some point? Or is it just like suggested stuff for during the time off?
I don't know the details for sure. I think it's the teacher said they expected was spend at least 20 minutes a day on each of these subjects and send home 3 or 4 subjects worth of stuff. I don't know if they actually are expected to return the packets or not. And they didn't send them home with the kids. Yesterday and today they had specific pickup times. They're like, okay, if your child's teacher's name begins with, you can come at this time to get these packets.
Interesting.
So they were caught very flat-footed. They tried to respond quickly, which I commend them for responding quickly, but because they responded quickly, they didn't have a ton of plans. But I would rather this than the other.
Yeah, the way they handle it for, like I said, the district I work in, is the kids get grades on the assignments just like they would in class, and they actually take attendance based on whether you turn the assignments in. So, like, you could, I guess, theoretically, just do them all the last day and turn them in, but that counts towards your attendance. So, like, if we actually have graduation, if you miss too many days, then you're not going to graduate.
Now, in your school district, how long do they say things will be shut down for?
We're shut down through the end of March, basically, at this point.
Officially here, things are shut down until the 30th. Things are supposed to start back up then, but that was a decision that was made like Saturday or Sunday. Saturday, I guess. Because Friday was a professional development day. Kids weren't there. It was just a teacher day. So I think sometime Friday they made some of the decision, maybe Saturday. And then starting Monday, they were closed with the intention of doing something. And then sometime either Sunday or Monday, they decided, no, we're closed for 2 weeks.
So initially, our school district shut down made the decision on Friday night to shut it down for 1 week with the intention of, you know, we're going to take, at the end of that week, we'll take a look at things and then possibly shut it down for 2 weeks, because a lot of the school districts around here, we're shutting down for 2 weeks. And then Governor Baker came on Sunday and said that everybody is mandatory for at least 3 weeks.
Your signal's breaking up, so it has like, I can completely understand you, but you have this very cool like robot voice going on.
Yeah, on the downside, we have no idea what you're saying. On the upside, you sound like Optimus Prime while you're saying it.
Excellent.
I mean, I don't think you could hope for a better outcome than that.
Right? Yeah, I'm in a bad spot when I'm in bad cellular service. Yeah, the only thing I was saying was that it was initially 1 week by the district, and then the governor called it for 3 weeks. As far as I know, everything is shut down for at least 3 weeks.
Man, Matrix is being real distracting for me today.
Good distracting or bad distracting?
I am thoroughly enjoying myself. I just, I'm doing more of that than what I should be doing, I think.
Yeah, it's nice to be on IRC again.
It is. I missed it so much. Like, well, I came into the trailing end of it being a thing, and I even missed that. So the fact that Matrix has become the thing that has brought people back to IRC, that makes me happy.
Well, and I think Matrix, from my perspective, as someone who uses, on any given day, I'm in Slack, Discord, Teams, and now also Matrix/Riot, it looks like that's kind of finally adding the last little bit of visual sugar to IRC to kind of bring it into a competitor with the other things?
Well, like you said, you messaged me and I don't think I ever responded to it because I just was busy. I think it replaces Mattermost, which is nice. I'm not getting rid of Mattermost because I have another team on our server that is my martial arts buddies and they will not move to something else. So I have to keep it going. But as far as...
It was probably hard enough to get them onto that.
Oh my God, it was so hard. They wanted to do everything on Facebook and then be mad that I wouldn't participate. So moving it over was a big win for me, so I'll take it. But to be completely honest, if it was more reliable, like today it's been up and down. I think part of that is just sort of the circumstances we're under.
Well, it's a decentralized system on a centralized server. Of course it's going to have a bad time occasionally.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I don't have time to work on it, but I would be interested in spinning up a server and seeing how hard it is. But I mean, it could replace Signal because it has the encryption built into it too. So I mean, it Matrix has the ability to be a lot of things and help me get rid of things, which is a thing I'm very, very open to doing. The only problem is like Work won't do that. Work wants to do their own things. Like they've been trying really hard this week to push Teams on us, and I'm like, no.
And that's funny. I'm having the opposite. We currently use Skype for business. My group would much rather be using Teams, and we are licensed for it. And we are not being allowed to switch. Because between the two of those, Teams is a lot better.
Yeah, I could see that.
But it's still not Mattermost.
Well, I mean, it's just... okay, so my thing is now, why isn't there a Teams to Matrix bridge? Because there is for everything else. I can bridge Slack into Matrix. I can bridge Discord into Matrix. I can do all sorts of things to where I can use a free and open source platform to engage with these things that I don't want to be part of.
Honestly, probably because Teams is still largely only used in the corporate sector.
Well, you said Microsoft, so that was a given.
I mean, they really want to not just be corporate.
I think they have a long road of gaining more goodwill, which they are doing. Like I will give them that, and pricing things appropriately.
I thought you could use kind of the base version of Teams for free. Now I'm gonna actually go do research here.
That is not on brand.
I'm chuckling because the first thing I find when I look up setting up Teams is PowerShell commands on how to set up Teams.
I can't say I'm disappointed with that result.
Yeah, no, not really. Microsoft has really gotten on the PowerShell train, and let me tell you, as someone who has been a long-time Bash practitioner, PowerShell is fucking great.
I just have zero use for it, so I can't weigh one way or the other.
What if Bash was object-oriented?
See, when I code, I don't use object orientation because I don't get it.
Yeah, I was there too. So how about this? When you pipe things around in Bash, you pipe around text, right?
Because everything should be text.
Well, PowerShell pipes around objects, and objects have properties. So you can, but you still get pipelining and things. Yeah, I can do, especially with the enterprise level things PowerShell is plumbed into, I can manage my corporate environment from a shell, and it makes me very happy.
I mean, I'm going to be that guy, but I think what you just said is you owe Ken a show.
You're always that guy.
Don't worry. They did it to me yesterday.
I mean, you're doing a show right now.
Yeah, but it's not really me. It's other people talking and me just sitting here trying to get work done.
That still counts.
I mean, if something could count and be low effort, I'm totally there.
I don't think I can do a show of just me.
What was that? I couldn't hear you over loud chortling.
I don't think I could do a show of just me by myself talking. I've done, besides just like Linux Logcast stuff, I've done like two of them, and I convinced Kay Wisher to come on with me just so I had somebody to talk to as opposed to just rambling by myself.
That's actually one of the things that Lyle and I have done for each other in the past, is just be the other guy. And so it helps a lot. And I would say, just to anybody who listens, if you need another guy, like hit me up, I'll be your other guy.
Remember to install for that used to offer that on like Saturdays, like Saturday mornings that he was on this Mumble channel, and he would be that other guy. If anyone wanted to record a show, he'd help them record the show. That's going back a ways.
It's probably not a terrible practice to bring back. I would just have to be available for it.
Right.
All right, Taja, this is what I was chortling about.
Yeah, so now I have something to put in the show notes.
See, while I do engage with Facebook, I've got my Facebook very, very finely tuned to basically just be memes.
There's going to be a small subset that that are going to get this.
I don't think it's that small of a subset. I am also making bread.
That's a normal occurrence around here.
Yeah, okay, well, it's not normal for me. We'll see how it goes.
Are you doing it with a bread maker, or are you doing it like by hand?
By hand, and hold on, I will also link you the recipe.
I will say, like, nothing is like homemade by hand bread, but a bread maker is really convenient for, like, hey, we just want to make sandwiches.
Yeah, we're making a soup tonight for dinner, and I'm like, you know what's good with soup is nice crusty bread. Usually I'd go to the store and buy some, but there's a plague going on, and so I'd rather not do that.
Good call.
I will, next time I go to the store, have put yeast and bread flour on my grocery list, though.
Yeah, that's one of the kind of the defining things at my house is, you know, KJ will ask for the good bread. And that's what she means.
One that you make by hand?
Yeah, so I usually do that occasionally.
But yeah, so that is, I'm making half that recipe, and it's currently in the first round of rising.
All right, I'll go back to work. Talk to you guys later.
Bye, catch you later.
It appears that I am being summoned to a work call as well, so have a good one.
All right, Lin-Man.
Is this on?
It is. What's up?
Good morning. Well, nothing much, really. Just corona-ing.
Yeah, time is sort of degraded into this long stream of I don't know what time it is or what day it is.
It feels like it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, and the only reason I know that is because Star Trek Picard comes on tonight. So I can watch that. That's the only way I know what day it is.
I just looked at the date bar.
Well, I could have done that too, but...
So how's your Python going on?
Pretty good. I kind of got hijacked today to do some other things, so I haven't spent as much time on it today as I would have liked. But in general, yeah, pretty good. I'm about halfway through the Python the Hard Way book, and so far it's kind of dusted the cobwebs off of the little bit that I do know. So I'm hoping that I can get through that in the next day or two, and then spend the next 2 weeks doing exercises and stuff and kind of branching out a little bit more.
That's cool. I mostly just see it as a Perl without all the weird symbols.
It is, as much as I love Lisps, it is kind of nice to not see just parentheses everywhere. Although sometimes it seems like it would actually be more helpful to have the parentheses.
Yes, the tabs are definitely not the best syntax.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of the reasons that I've always liked when I teach programming to teach a Lisp, because it doesn't, like, there's no white spacing. It's literally, you can make it look the most ridiculous way possible and the computer can still interpret it. Where Python, like, if your spacing is off or something, then everything just kind of blows up.
Oh, and careful with the scoping rules.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
So if you define a variable inside a loop, it's visible outside of it.
Good to know.
Never call anything time.
That could be problematic.
It's ridiculous. I had a variable called time, and then for that reason, I couldn't load the module. Or I did, but it just broke, and I was like, why? How come you can't find the module? It's right there.
How many times does any programming solution just take variable, add a number behind it, and then suddenly everything works?
Too many times.
Right now, I'm uploading a YouTube video because that's what my job is.
About Python?
No, because we're doing all this e-learning stuff for the schools since they're not in session. A lot of the teachers in the state have been sort of stuck because they're like, how do I do e-learning? I don't know how to like record my screen or anything like that. So I just made a tutorial thing for our program to sort of spread out to the schools in the state. And I feel kind of happy because it's basically just completely pimping open source software the whole time. So hopefully I did my good for the world today.
Nice. I'm thinking of recording an HPR episode on FFmpeg.
I did Open Broadcaster Studio because it runs on everything. And the only problem with it is it's a little too intense at first, but once you kind of learn that most of the things you don't need to change, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I just had to use FFmpeg yesterday, and now I feel like I should probably write about it.
For sure. It's super powerful. Like it's, and it, as noted by, just look at any program that does any kind of multimedia, and FFmpeg is somewhere in there.
Yeah, and it's much faster than anything with the GUI.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.